morning, family. Let me get all my stuff put together here. Those who have teached and those who have preached. Have you ever had that dream that you went to church and you left your notes at home? I didn't do that. I just wondering. So. just asking. Okay. Gratitude is what we're going to talk about today. And as with many things, as I study through these kind of concepts, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper in what I do. Have you ever met or have you ever been that person who you see them and you say, what's wrong? Have you ever been in situations where things just aren't going well, like the past couple 18 minutes? Just saying. Relationship sour, school pressures, health issues, just trouble in life. And we're kind of wired or learned to be or choose to look at the negative. We're just that way. You know, and our brain is kind of wired that way. It's called fight or flight, for those who are into that. Or have you ever given someone a gift and that person is less than excited? And that person says, well, I was kind of hoping it was this color, or I was hoping it was a little bit bigger, or I was really hoping, or somebody says, okay, where's my next one? Been down that road, okay. So when I was looking at this and I was reading various scriptures and other sources of information about what gratitude is, I read a book right now on the sciences of virtue, which is a pretty good book. And the reason why I'm reading it is because science is a big thing in our world these days. A lot of people want to follow the science, which is not a bad thing, but God created the science, by the way. And so I like the way this book kind of weaves the science with the scripture and all that kind of stuff, because I think, and they made a pretty good point in the book and said that if people are really into the science and we don't talk about it to some degree, then we're leaving a whole section of people in our society out there. So we've got to talk about it, and we've got to learn about it, and all that kind of stuff. So I've tried to do that. In gratitude, one of the premier researchers is a guy named Dr. Emmons, if I say that correctly. He is a faithful person, by the way. He speaks about gratitude and spirituality quite a bit as well. As a matter of fact, he has a grant out right now trying to get people to talk about spirituality and gratitude and things like that. But he's the leading expert. He defines it as, number one, affirming goodness in one's life. And number two, recognizing that the source of this goodness lies, at least partially, outside of oneself. That's where he's kind of going like that. Which kind of fits the scripture. If you go to John 3:16... I'll do this one by hand here. John 3:16, 17. And we're familiar with this passage, but I want to read it because when you read it and you kind of absorb this information, it kind of helps out. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then we also have read Colossians, which already was our congregational reading, like that. So what is the science telling us? The science is telling us that if you're thankful, you have a measure of gratitude within yourself, there's a whole bunch of things that really are great benefits to you. based on the research, which is the science. It boosts your immune system. It helps you with resilience in stress, which is the latest thing in stress world. It lowers depression, increases energy. It increases your determination, and you get to sleep better. Didn't say anything about allergies, though. On the other hand, it does not deny the difficulties of life, because lots of times when you hear people talk about gratitude, they think more of a Hallmark thing, you know, Hallmark. Give everybody a little card, and everything's wonderful. Hallmark. Excuse me. When I was reading it, it was not talking about that. That's the only thing you look at when you're grateful, except for allergies. That it perhaps it teaches us to look beyond the negatives. I'll get there. Thank you. This may be the short one. Anyway, so perhaps when you look at that and go a little further with gratitude and go beyond the Hallmark kind of concept, perhaps we need to create a mindset of gratitude, a way of life. But central to this gratitude is a humble mind. And also research has talked about that quite a bit. Three concepts in humble humility is to be self-aware, to acknowledge things that are beyond you, and be teachable. If you look at Philippians 2, pretty much echoes that if you think about it, the attitude that you're looking for. Some may argue that it's a discipline, the gratitude is discipline, it needs to be acquired. And it does a, thank you, that it has to be a different mindset. If you go to Romans 12:1 and talk about it, it talks about the body, mind, heart, and spirit, but it becomes your act of worship. So it kind of fits with it quite a bit if you think about it. Okay. A recent survey found, it's going to be a problem going back and forth. A recent survey by one of these researchers found that while 90% of the people think gratitude makes you happier, gives you more fulfilled life, less than half regularly express gratitude. So it kind of makes you wonder, what's the deal here? If you know, 9 out of 10 people say that it's great. I love the idea of gratitude. But less than 50% say, yeah, I really don't do it that much. Yeah. It reminds me of a time Dr. Thompson, he had this saying. He's a pediatrician in Scott and White. He said, the only thing consistent about humankind is that it's inconsistent. And I kind of agree with that. So, what are the things that kind of get in the way? Number one, these are just a short list, by the way. Things that get in the way of exercising gratitude as a mindset and looking at that. One is that we're just busy, 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 busy people. A lot of distractions, much to do. You know, I like to be nice, but, man, I got too much stuff on my list to do. I don't have time to sit there and chat with somebody and talk with somebody and develop a relationship with anybody. And all I can do is I got to get my jobs done. I got to get all my things done. That could be one thing. Once again, the negative versus the positive. The negative, we're just kind of wired that way. It had to do with a survival thing and all that kind of stuff. Or could it be envy? Envy is a big one. I'll read you this scripture on envy. This is one of those things that I've read about and gone like, wow. Because lots of times when you look at envy, you go like, well, okay, it's envy. But when you look at it and what it's associated with, which I call the bad associations, it kind of gives you pause. This is Mark 7, if you want to follow along. Start in verse 20. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of man's heart, comes evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside. It makes a man unclean. So envy. Okay. The next one is, one of the biggest ones is these articles talking about is pride. Because I went around asking some of my colleagues this question. I was asking the question, I said, tell me what you think is the difference between gratitude, what's the same, or, you know, it's kind of a teacher question. You know, how are these the same and how are they different? You know, compare and contrast thing. You know. Nobody likes those, except English teachers. Just kidding. How are they the same or how are they different of gratitude and entitlement? Makes you think. Anyway, as I was talking with several people and asking them that question, they gave me a lot of different answers like that. And one of the things I got out of it was that pride is an arrogance, if you think about it, because it is the inability to admit that you need somebody. It's the inability that anyone can help you or you can help someone else. So if you think about it that point of view, it kind of makes sense to me, pride. Because we're relational people. When you look at what it says in Colossians on the wall there from time to time, it is that. But also in the men's class, we've been talking about Ephesians. And in that, we're talking about how people are bickering back and forth and all that stuff. And one of the things about, let me read this to you, that just really grabs me when I'm reading about it. Ephesians 3, starting with round 17. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love has surpassed knowledge, that you may be fulfilled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So, let's talk entitlement. And this is what I got out of it for me anyway. I'm just sharing what I found out. And I've heard myself say these things. This is what I've got. This is what I've earned. This is what I deserve. I had this coming to me. This is all entitlement. Look at what I did. It's all entitlement. Because if I train myself in the spiritual discipline of gratitude, then should I realize that life does not owe me anything? Everything in it becomes a gift. Therein lies the spiritual realm of gratitude. That everything that happens is because it's a gift. Good or bad, it's a gift. God owes us nothing. As we talked about in John 3:16. He loved us enough to give us a son. Okay. But he owes us nothing. You go further in John 15, he talks about the vine and the branches. And he talks about how you need to be with him, remain in him, and he'll remain in you. That's what he talks about. So if you look at that, it needs to be ingrained, and I have a example of what we're talking about. And I look at this example, and as you look through it, and as I read this, kind of think about it and kind of pull it in and try to understand that the measure of gratitude comes from the past, in the present, and in the future. It becomes a way of life. Can you imagine what this world be like, if you go back to Ephesians again, what this world would be like if we were all grateful and not bickering and not envying and all that kind of stuff? Anyway, let me read this little story here. If it's really folded in with me, one of the things that, as a technique, they said is not technique, but if you're thankful for everything, do you thank people for bagging you groceries? Do you thank somebody for, you know, doing things for you? Because it's a gift. They don't have to do it, okay? This is a story. When the checkout guy at the grocery store swipes and bags your groceries with even an average level of efficiency and friendliness, you say, thanks. Thank you for not confronting me with dead-eye rudeness when you could have. Thanks for not working at a snail's pace. Thanks for doing your job up to standard when many do not. Thank you to our ancestors who cleared this land and set up general stores that became giant stores where you work and I shop, where I can get pumpkin spice Oreos. Thought that was an interesting part. So, even Oreos. Be thankful for Oreos. And run them down this little conveyor belt and pay with these handy chip reading machines, thanks to the forces of the universe that brought us together in this moment for the small exchange in which we both get something we need. Thanks for giving up your time and perhaps even a little bit of your soul to work this job that helps make the world go round. And that's all related to bagging groceries. Think about that, as I did quite a bit. So if we train ourselves and we understand that, once it becomes more ingrained and becomes a default for us and the abilities that we have, it benefits. Then you get all those other benefits we talked about. You get to sleep better. Your relationships are better with people, things like that. And because, you know, on the east side, we're family, okay? We have many people that do many grateful things for us. We have mentors. We have teachers, singers, worship leaders, ministry leaders, facility managers. That's what I call those who are working on the building, by the way. I just gave you a title, so feel good. Just saying. Because we're relational, we take every bit of information that we get as elders, I can tell you right now, every bit of information, we process it and we talk about it and like that. And a while back, we're in an elders meeting and says, okay, we're here to talk about something. We'll see you on Thursday. That basically means we're going to talk about it for a while because we start at 8. Usually in our elders meeting. And on average, I don't haven't done a collection of this, but basically we're in there from about 9:30 till about 10:30-ish, somewhere in there, and deciding a lot of different things. A lot of people have asked questions about the minister search, and as they come talk to us collectively or individually. Then this is kind of what we do. We have a process that we go by. We've looked at all the applicants. We have studied their information that they sent us, looked at their YouTube clips, looking at that kind of stuff. And then we talk about it. If we feel that is a matching, then what we do, we'll call them. And if that works out, then we'll do an interview. And if that works out, we have them come and meet us. But in between all that stuff that what we do, I can tell you at least twice, probably more than that, that the elders have fasted and prayed consistently for a decision and for someone who was going to come here and fit in with our group and with our family. And so we have made a decision. We had offered Tim Brown the job to come here and work with us. And the interesting thing, and this is just my version, you guys can chime in if you want to, is that he's coming here to be part of the family. He's coming here to share what he has learned from Scripture and to be great, and he's grateful for that. But I think we're also grateful for the fact that we have someone here come here also. Yeah, but he also needs someone that's going to love on his family and take care of his family just like he will take care of our family. So if you have any questions about that process, talk to any one of us. Be more than happy to talk to you about it. But we're looking at the Spirit of God telling us what we need to be doing, and we're grateful for that because it was quite the process, and it was a process where, you know, there was times, I can tell you from my point of view, and other guys can chime in if they want to, is I had no idea where we were going with it. Just kept trying to figure it out, talk to God, pray about it, fast a little bit, and try to get some understanding of where he wants us to go. And so we've done it. We've talked about it 2 or 3 times, something like that. And we fasted some more, prayed some more, talked about it some more, pray about it, fasted some more, and finally come up with the idea that we think that that's going to be a good fit for this family. They can help us. We can help them. And I think that's going to be good. If you really think about this, I was thinking about this morning, and it's based on my knowledge, that the last two ministers that we've hired and brought into our family were ones that were in the ministry, left the ministry, and they came back to the ministry. And we loved on them, took care of them. They took care of us, and then they moved on. And it seems like Tim's fitting that pattern as well. So that may be our calling. I don't know. Think about that one. So also, the elders will talk about many, many things that are happening with the family members and what we're doing and what struggles, you know, the family's having. So we will offer, however you want to offer that, if you have concerns or if you have things that you're struggling with and you need the elders to pray over you and the family to be aware of it, please come down and talk to us about it. And while we go ahead and sing our next song.